Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling is a live call-in radio program providing doctrinal dialogue, cultural commentary, and insightful interviews with some of today's foremost Christian authors and leaders. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship in Traveler's Rest. The goal of the church and the radio program is to seek the glory of God in the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints by the ministry of the Word. For more information, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Here with today's edition of Knowing the Truth is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into this edition of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. This is Pastor Kevin Bowling. So glad that you joined us on the broadcast today. Well, it used to be a place where you could kind of escape from what was taking place in the world, at least for an hour or a little couple hours maybe, on a Saturday or a Sunday even. The place that I'm referring to is the arena, the sports arena. You used to be able to just say, well, I'm going to just watch a ball game, watch a baseball game or a football game, and just kind of tune out all of the other types of things that were taking place in politics and so forth in the civic arena and all around us in other aspects. But that seems to no longer be the case, and especially most recently with the Colin Kaepernick event that took place. I'm sure you're aware of that. And so now, not just with him, but with many other folks after that, there have been people sitting down and standing up and kneeling and all sorts of putting their fist up in the air, all sorts of different protests that have been taking place in the middle of these or at the start of these games and so forth. And so we want to talk about that subject on the program today. We want to talk about the idea of sports and nationalism, or maybe better put, civic versus ethnic identity. You know, civic versus ethnic identity really gets to the heart, I think, of what we're talking about. There's been a recent article written by Dr. Steve Turley. It's been posted out on ChristianPost.com. That was posted out there on September 20th. And the opening line, or one of the opening lines here, says this: recently, across the nation, Sunday was a day of ritual. No, I'm not talking about church liturgies. I'm referring rather to the demonstrations staged by a number of National Football League players during the national anthem. And with that as a lead-in to the article, then Dr. Turley goes on to explain about the differences, or these, you know, the comparisons between sports and nationalism and between civic and ethnic identity. Dr. Turley's been with me before on the radio broadcast, but let me say that he's an internationally recognized scholar, speaker, and blogger. And you can check out his books and the things that he has blogged about and written about out at TurleyTalks.com. That's T-U-R-L-E-Y, TurleyTalks.com. And you can get all the information about Dr. Turley out there at that site. Dr. Turley, welcome back to the Knowing the Truth radio program.
Well, thanks so much, Kevin. It's great to be back with you.
Well, this one is a little bit complex that we're talking about here today. There seems to be a lot of elements that we need to think through as we try to evaluate what's taking place. Why don't I read the opening line just to your article, but from there you then begin to set up what's been taking place and talk about the two different sides that have formed on this issue. Why don't you recount that a little bit about what you write in the article, and then we can start working our way through it. How does that sound?
Yeah, that's great. I think you've set it up perfectly. The reaction towards Kaepernick has been so polarized. I don't think they could be possibly more opposite. You know, you have. Mm-hmm. I think it was Representative Steve King actually going so far as to saying that his lack of patriotism was akin to sympathy for ISIS.
You know? Wow.
And then, right, and then on the other side, via the New York Times and other publications, they just think this Colin Kaepernick's protest is wonderful. One headline had Colin Kaepernick finds his voice. Another one has Colin Kaepernick won. So I just don't. I don't see how you can get more polar opposite, more polarized. But I think this polarization actually is indicative of what's really going on here. Something much, much deeper than I think any of these commentaries express. I think that secularization of our society over the last century actually entails this split loyalty between sort of what we call civic nationalism and ethnic nationalism. Mm. In other words, I think there's a cultural incoherence in secularism that has led precisely to this kind of polarization, precisely to this kind of controversy. And so what I develop in the argument is how this cultural contradiction inherent in secularism actually makes this polarization inevitable. And I would go so far as to say irresolvable. It's irreconcilable, at least on secularized terms.
Hmm. Well, let's define a couple of those terms. The one that you used here first is secularization. We've talked about it many times before on the broadcast, but just to help people to think through this as we go through your article, I just want to make sure that they have, you know, a good little working definition for these terms that we're using so that they can understand exactly what's being said. So just in your own words, how would you define the idea of secularization?
Yeah, great question. Secularization is a social processes wherein you begin to see this massive gap open up between public life and private life. That's one of the key characteristics of a secular age. I hate bringing it up, but given the election year, we all remember, unfortunately, the whole Bill Clinton, Monica Lewinsky scandal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when it broke, what was Clinton's defense? Well, this is about my private life, and it has nothing to do with my competence as president. That's an extremely secular way of thinking. And the reason for that is because it's rooted in secularism's commitment to scientific rationalism, which is the belief that science really is the only way that we can objectively know in such a way that transcends all cultural values and norms. And so what secularism does is it honors cultural values and norms, but in such a way that no one value system can be considered dominant over all the others. And so this is what's known as multiculturalism, or more precisely actually pluralism. And this is basically the relativizing of all values, traditions, cultures, religions to being of equal value. So in a secular society, you can hold to whatever belief system you want. It's just that when you enter the public square, you have to relativize those values to a common sense, which is generally governed by modern facts and scientific rationalism, which neither favors nor discriminates against any, you know, you go down the list, ethnicity, religion, creed, value system. So we see this dichotomy between facts and values in our public schools. You can believe whatever you want when it comes to God or morality or ultimate meaning, but you can't believe whatever you want when it comes to arithmetic, geometry, and biology.
Mm-hmm.
We see the same thing in our courtrooms. We see it in our news media. A secularized or secularization, a secularized society is one that has a very stark dichotomy or gap between facts and values, between the public square and the private square.
Mm. And it actually ends up almost with a religious aspect to it, right? In the article you referred to, I think it's a fellow by the name of Gutman who calls it a kind of secular faith. So although they would they don't like the term faith in a secularized society, nevertheless the secular is a faith in and of itself.
Oh, that's absolutely right. The whole irony of it is that the fact value dichotomy is not itself a fact.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a mathematical or scientifically derived quotient of any kind or evidence of any kind. It's simply a matter of faith. And so that's exactly right. And that author actually says that's really, if you want to understand modern sports today and the role that they play in our society, you really do have to understand that these processes of secularization, this commitment to scientific rationalism on the one hand and a liberal orientation towards values on the other, sports have been thoroughly caught up into that.
Mm-hmm. So actually, when I opened up the broadcast saying that it was a place almost that you could escape, it was just that the secularized viewpoints were a little bit more, at least at those points, were a little bit more veiled and maybe not so clear. Along with that, when we see Colin Kaepernick do these things, it's not so much that we're saying, hey, you need to leave what you believe on the sideline, because we believe that even in the Christian life, that can never be done. It's brought into everything that we do.
Right.
But we don't particularly care, I guess, the way that he did it.
Right.
And so because of that, I thought it was just way too general and, what he was protesting against. It had the way he went about it. We'll talk about that in a little bit more. But I just thought that it was overdone and unclear exactly what he was protesting against. But my point is that you can't just leave that on the sideline. If you bring a person with this belief system into the game, eventually these two belief systems are going to collide.
That's exactly right. And what I develop in the article is that because secularization creates this divide between the civic and the ethnic, between the public life and one's personal private values, it inevitably ends up splitting our loyalties. And scholars have generally made a distinction between ethnic and civic nationalism. So an ethnic nationalism would be loyalty to kin, race, ethnicity, while civic nationalism involves more allegiance to what we call the larger nation-state project. And so, I argue that this, by sanctifying the nation-state on the one hand, while fostering this multiculturalism on the other by virtue of its commitment to liberal values, secularization just inevitably makes it difficult to forge and maintain any kind of coherent society, since the split between the civic and the ethnic in secular society has occasioned the splitting of our nationalist loyalties.
Mm, especially in as we think about football or baseball. I mean, these are referred to as the national pastime, right? Especially baseball. So they're played on like the 4th of July. The major holidays that we celebrate oftentimes have a specific football game that's played on those days. I mean, it's built right into the entire idea of our national identity now. And when you get people from various ethnicities who don't have that same sense of loyalty to that national aspect of this, there's where we see the collision. Is that what you're articulating?
Absolutely. You got it. We actually, it's really neat. Scholars of sports trace out just the whole history of how sports got bound up with nationalist loyalties, thinking, of course, civic nationalist loyalties. And it's really related to a post-Civil War process of trying to create a national unity during the process of Reconstruction. And so this is where you begin to see post-Civil War an increasingly centralized and nationalized conception of sport in relation to this unitive identity. So this is, you got it, baseball's National League was formed in 1876. The American League followed shortly thereafter. And then you fast forward several decades after World War II, the national anthem became the staple way to begin any sports event. So sports got inevitably bound up with this very civic, unitive conception of nationalism. But because of this undercurrent of multiculturalism, the sporting world has also served as the occasion for rituals of sort of sub-nationalisms. Mm. And I think I mentioned the display. It's a pretty iconic, the Black Power Salute by Tommy Smith and John Carlos.
Yes.
At the 1968 Olympic Games in Mexico. Sporting rituals provide players with the opportunity not only to express civic nationalism, but with this undercurrent of multiculturalism, they can also express ethnic nationalisms as well, and I think that's what we're seeing.
And I think what people bristle against when they see this, whether they agree with the point being made in the protest, you know, they made in the case of Kaepernick saying that black people are mistreated, and some even went so far as to make statements like are being murdered in our streets and things along this
right.
line. So whether or not they agree with that point, I think that they feel that that he is going against the entire system by not acknowledging the flag. He is dissing all the other good elements of the country at the same time, that he's just taken it too far, and that flag represents his right to speak out against those issues. So I think that, you know, there's something in that nationalism that kind of supersedes these individual issues that he's raising, and he has taken his individual ethnic issue and superseded it over the national. Is that, you don't bring that out exactly in the article, but is that along the line of what you're highlighting here?
Yeah, that's certainly entailed. Scholars have been talking about multiculturalism turning into a cultural absolutism. So it's sort of a new form of tribalization, which is the technical term for it. We see it with, we were talking about several months back, the Black Lives Matter movement on college campuses, where you're literally seeing people say things akin to the university as a whole is racist, and I need to have black professors, and I need to have certain ethno-centered dorm rooms, and on and on and on, or dorm halls or dorm buildings. It goes on and on and on. This is what's known as cultural absolutism. This is the idea that everything collapses under culture or comes under culture. There's nothing, there's no way that different cultures can speak intelligibly with one another, or even live in harmony with one another. It's all or nothing. And unfortunately, multiculturalism, we're finding, is giving birth to sort of a radicalized tribalism, where you're seeing sort of this sort of neo-racist tendencies that in the end say it's my culture or the highway, I'm not going to capitulate to any kind of multicultural vision, because then they turn around and say that multicultural vision is a colonial culture defining what my culture can do. So. It's a very dangerous thing in that sense, in that there just doesn't seem to be any common ground with which to have discussion, and I think you said it perfectly. I think that's what the national flag at least wanted to provide some room for. It tended to be done more on Christian terms, the idea of a Christian gentleman or Christian ethics and so forth. We're trying to do it with secular terms, and I just think it has an innate incoherence. If it's rooted in itself, if the fact value dichotomy is itself a value, then as part of the fact value dichotomy, we say no one value system can be any more dominant than the others. Well, then it's shot. It's just secularism ends up drowning under the very multicultures that it gave birth to.
Mm-hmm. There was always obviously various cultures that made up the citizenry of the United States. You know, even growing up outside of Buffalo, New York, or I grew up in Buffalo, moved outside of Buffalo after I was married. we saw different neighborhoods. You know, there would be an Italian neighborhood or a Polish neighborhood or a German neighborhood and so forth. And but it all worked together because they were all Buffalonians, you know, in the end. So the city overrode kind of the city culture overrode so that the multiculturalism underneath of it never was allowed to rise above that. You know, that was always kind of the plateau. But now we're seeing that, I think, across the country, as you're pointing out, that all of these different factions, these cultures, are all demanding that they be the leading culture, when rather than using the Christian founding of the country that and what the founding fathers had in mind as being the baseline or the foundation of all that we're doing, all of that is now being attacked and saying, well, why should that have the supreme place? You know, my culture should have the supreme case and place, and my my view should be ultimate in what we want to take place. And it seems we have all this this wrestling going on back and forth, struggles going on, up for the struggle, they say. But the struggling going on as to who's going to be the top dog here and get to say whose values matter. Is that kind of what you're writing about?
Yeah, in that sense, right. It's very Darwinian in that sense. I think you got it perfectly. I think, you know, Christian societies certainly had their share of problems and inconsistencies, but I don't think they were intrinsic to the belief system itself. So in pre-political space, in the space of family and church and community, we see that, just like the way you explained it, Christianity is thoroughly multicultural, and that all peoples, tongues, nations, we all reckon that they're all incorporated in the transformative life, death, and resurrection of Christ. But because of this common incorporation, it means that all cultures are united in Christ. There's this unitive nature to the multicultural conception of Christianity. And so this is where, you know, you get early Christians such as Aristides of Athens in the early second century arguing that Christians are a united race. In that they're neither Jew nor Greek, right? We're all one in Christ. So the various cultures of the world find a unity in their common redemption and sanctification in Christ. We together make up the one holy Catholic or universal apostolic church. So there's no split here between our loyalties.
Yes.
We can be thoroughly loyal to our own neighborhoods, our cultures, our ethnicities, but recognizing that all cultures, all neighborhoods and ethnicities are equally participating in this beautiful redemption. So when we go into a public square, we have a unity that secularism just doesn't provide.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Well said. I was going to get to that about what's taking place with the church, and that the church has its own culture. And the culture of Christianity and the teachings of Christ and the scriptures at the foundation of that and the person and work of Christ and all that's entailed in the, when I talk about Christianity, that supersedes all of these other divisions that are there, as you pointed out. And I think part of the problem is that there are church leaders now who are seeing what's taking place in the world, and they're trying to bring that into the church in a worldly, secularized manner rather than allowing the gospel itself to do that work of and the unity that's there of one faith, one baptism, one people of God, and so forth. And I think that that's a huge mistake. They're just saying, hey, okay, well, we don't have that many black people in our congregation, so we have got to diversify. Let's go out and get some black people and bring them in, and then we're going to have a much more blended group. Or we don't have enough Hispanics, so we're going to start a Hispanic ministry to prove to the world that, you know, we're really multicultural too, you know. And I think that that's exactly the wrong approach, that we preach the gospel and teach the gospel, and whoever comes, you know, whoever believes, whoever the Lord draws unto himself, white, black, brown, it doesn't matter. We're not supposed to be seeing things in those particular terms. Is that does that sum up well what you were just saying?
Oh, absolutely. You got it. It's not only sports that have been secularized. Unfortunately, the church has been radically secularized, the public-private dichotomy, all that. another beautiful part of it, too, is for your listeners, the Greek word for church is ekklesia. And ekklesia, it referred to the rulers of the polis, or the Greek city-state. So it's actually a very civic term. It's a very political term. So not only does Christ redeem ethnicity, he redeems the civic world as well. So both our civic loyalties and our ethnic loyalties both converge in our love and our worship of Christ, the true King, the true Lord. That's the answer the world needs to hear. We don't need to secularize the church. We need to bring the gospel to bear on our secular society.
Amen. One little book in the scripture that I would recommend people take a fresh look at is the book of Philemon, where, of course, you've got the runaway slave, Philemon being a leader in the Colossae, the Church of Colossae, and Onesimus has run away, a runaway slave. And look at the way that the Apostle Paul deals with it, with the gospel, not with a secularized terms about how blacks and whites were in that society and so forth, but he brings the gospel to bear. And it was successful because we find out later throughout church history that the church there, Colossae, was the first church to receive black slaves or slaves into full fellowship in the church. And I just think, what a remarkable example. Here's Philemon and Onesimus sitting in the front pew reading, singing from the same hymnal. What a testimony to the power of the gospel, and what a testimony to the failure of secularism in our world today.
Absolutely. Perfectly put.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Dr. Turley, for joining us again, talking about these issues. We really appreciate your writing out there at turleytalks.com, and we thank you for taking time out to speak with us about these important issues.
Oh, thank you, Kevin. The pleasure's mine. God bless you.
Okay. That was Dr. Steve Turley. Again, his website is www.turleytalks.com. That's T-U-R-L-E-Y, talks.com, turleytalks.com. You can go out there to find out more about him and the work that he's doing, and his blogs are out there and so forth. This particular blog appeared out on ChristianPost.com, Colin Kaepernick, Sports and Nationalism, Civic or Ethnic Identity. That's what the title of the article was, and you can read it in its entirety out there at ChristianPost.com.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.